Let's now go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to read from chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke, chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8 and reading through verse 14. Hear now God's precious word to you, his dear people. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." May God bless his word to us. Once again, we ask, Lord, that you would bless us by your word. Thankful to be here. We believe your word, and we pray that we believe it some more through the hearing of it. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we say these things and pray these things. Amen. Now, what I want to do tonight, something a little different, and that is I want to give you the message that a Chinese missionary to China gave to Chinese people. Now, it's not going to be his message verbatim. It's going to be in my words, mainly, some quotes. But I want to show you what missionaries, reformed missionaries, do in places like China, and what they do with the Christmas story. It's a perfect message to bring to to anyone, but for a missionary to bring to the Chinese people. And the missionary starts off by telling them that Christmas time is a good news time. It's a time of good news. It's a time when Christians rejoice to tell the story of the Christ child and how it all began in Bethlehem. And he says to his Chinese audience, and I want to tell you this, thankful that you're all here tonight, and I want to tell you this story. And so he begins by telling the story of Jesus to the Chinese. He goes on to talk about the good tidings of verse 11, what that means about having a Savior come. Speaks the fundamental truth, the fundamental gospel to them. Basic gospel that we all enjoy and know and love and cherish with all our heart. And then he speaks of this verse here that's good tidings to all. Right? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is for all the people. Right in verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Talked about that. So I want to say some of the things that he said, this missionary, and show you how it's done with these people. as I said, he first began with the story of Jesus. And he emphasized the fact that unlike the gods that you are worshiping or believing in or talking about, Jesus was a historical person. He really did live. And it's a fact. You know, they talk about in China the Kuan Yin and the Goddess of Mercy and the Monkey King and the Monk Tang Cheng and Pig Man. And you have to know all that, but these are not real things, real people that existed. You know, the Monkey King, he never existed. You might have seen some pictures of him on television, on Netflix or something, but it's just fantasy. But so his emphasis was that Christ really did live, and he's a historical figure. Look it up. You know, it's factual that he lived and he for a while, and he taught and he preached and he died on a cross, buried. That's all fact. He rose again from the dead. That's a fact too, but it's not a very popular one that history likes to report. But we know it is a fact. And then he went on to talk about 2,000 years ago, this young woman, Mary, went to the city of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem's a little south of Jerusalem in the Mideast there. And it was tax time, and they were assembling in their home places, and there was a lot of activity, a lot of traffic, a lot of people coming into town to for the tax purposes given by the emperor. And so when they got to the inn where they wanted to stay, there was no room. But she was pregnant. She was great with child, about to have that child. And so the innkeeper allowed her to stay in a place that was at least safe and warm, somewhat comfortable, in a stable. And Mary had her baby. By the way, the baby, the missionary tells the people, the baby was not the child of the father, Joseph. Joseph was there too. But he wasn't the father of that baby. See, what happened is God came upon Mary and she conceived this son. And so this son was born in a barn, in a stable, among the animals, because there was no room in the inn at this time. Now, the angel of the Lord told Mary and Joseph to name their child Jesus. And so that's what they did. They named the child Jesus because that's what the angel said. And angels don't lie, right? And of course, there was happiness there, there was joy. And we rejoice over this. The birth of a child, a special child, conceived by the power of God. It's a joyful message. It is glad tidings. It is a joyful message. It is something that we love to talk about and celebrate every year during a certain time of the year. We celebrate it all the time, but we love to celebrate it during this time as well. And the sounds of Christmas music are all over the land. Even among the Christians in China. Now, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And these were rough and tumble men. Need to take note of that. Because I'm going to talk about what happened when the shepherds were watching, the angel of the Lord appeared, and they were sore afraid. Now, I know you Chinese people know about fairies and ghosts, and you fear them, especially the older Chinese people fear the fairies and the ghosts because they're spirits and they're up to no good oftentimes, and they torment and they cause trouble. But this was no fairy or ghost. This was an angel that came to the shepherds. And glory shone all around him. And the place lit up. The plains that night, you know, were lit up by the presence of the angel. And the shepherds were sore afraid. Now, an angel is a messenger from God. And he delivers messages to God's people from heaven to earth. Well, the Chinese would ask, well then why, if that's a messenger from God, delivering a message from God to the people, why would the shepherds fear him? It's not a ghost, not a fairy, not out for mischief or evil purposes. Why fear the angel? And the reason the missionary gave to the Chinese people for it is because the shepherds were rough and tumble men. They were very sinful and they knew it. And they thought that God might have been displeased with them. And he sends an angel messenger to tell them that he's displeased with these people because they're sinners. And the shepherds were, you know, like tough, rough. They were worse than Trump. Just put it that way. You know, really outward and aggressive and, you know, they were tough. Rugged. But the angel tells them to don't fear. That's not the message. The message is not that you're going to be punished for your sins or because you've been bad, you know, God wants to confront you. No. The message is, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign. So on. Well, what a relief, right? The shepherds were just relieved by this. And we are too. Because you see, the message that the angels gave that night to the shepherd is for all people. And what it says is that God has sent a Savior to save you from your sins. Not to judge you and condemn you for your sins, but to save you from your sins. And by the way, you know, there are no such things, Christians, he told these Chinese people, do not believe in fairies and ghosts. They don't exist. But evil spirits do. And there are evil spirits that do mean to do wickedly. But the good news of the gospel is, the good news truth is that Jesus is also in control of them. And they have no power whatsoever over us. Because the Spirit of God is greater in us than is in the world. Now he's got their attention. So he goes on to talk about what this Savior saves us from. And he uses very practical examples, three. He first defines saving, when someone is saved, means that the person is delivered from evil. That's what it means to be saved. To be saved means to be delivered from evil, from, you know, rescued from danger. And he tells them that there's a great evil in this world and among you that you need to be saved from which you need to be saved. And the first thing he points out, this missionary, to these Chinese people, is that there's a lie that's really begun way back in the beginning by the evil one, Satan himself. And he told this lie to our first parents, and they fell for it. And as a result, all this terrible stuff has happened. And since then, the lie has just been magnified and developed from society to society, from culture to culture, from tradition to tradition. And so that it's everywhere now. And what would you think about founding and establishing and setting the course of your life based on a lie? What do you think about that? Isn't that a danger? You're moving in the wrong direction. You're believing a lie. And you're following suit. You're following after it. And what Jesus came to save us from, to save you, is from that lie. From establishing and founding your life upon this lie. And moving in the opposite direction from where you think you're going. You're not going there. You're going in the opposite way. And you don't realize it because you've been lied to for so long. Burning Josh sticks, J-O-S-S, they call them Josh sticks, to the monkey god, to the goddess of mercy, and praying is like speaking to the wall. It's like speaking to a plaster statue. It falls on deaf ears. They can't hear. They have ears, symbols, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have mouths, but they don't speak. You would rather be speaking directly to the God, the living God, the Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has come to point you in the right direction to save you from the lie. The second thing that the missionary pointed out to the Chinese people there, listening to him, is that you're a proud people. And you follow your traditions, and your family name and reputation means the world to you. And Jesus came to save you from your pride and from putting everything into your family name and reputation. You see, that encourages selfishness. That encourages the attention be given to me and mine. And seeking out at all costs what's best for me and mine. God wants to introduce you to His family. He wants to bring you into His family, which is an everlasting family, eternal family, full of sacrifice and humility and love and gentleness towards all. It's not just self-centered, it's not just selfish, it's not just you and yours, but it's others as well. Caring for others and treating them like you would treat your own family. That they become as important to you as your family. In a sense of speaking, spiritual sense for sure. Christ has come to save you from pride and selfishness. And be like a bound by those things. Fettered. Captured. By that kind of belief and structure. And the third thing the missionary said that Jesus came to save us from, to save his people from, is the love of money and the things that money can buy. Because I know you Chinese people, you see,
You work hard to get ahead. Especially now. You know, you've had a tasting of that good life, and you want more of it. And so, you know, you work hard and you try to get as much as you can of this life. And by the way, you people believe in good and in bad luck, right? And so you burn these Josh sticks to appease family members that have died and are now ghosts or something. You want to appease the spirits. And if you burn these Josh sticks and you have a festival full of colors and days of the celebration, you're going to appease them and you'll have good luck. And if you don't do that, you're going to have bad luck. But you see, Jesus has come to save you from believing in that luck and having to worship and burn Josh sticks and incense and such, and celebrate with all colors and fanfare and fireworks and things like that in order to hopefully gain some good luck in life. No, Jesus will give you all the blessings that you need in this life, and all spiritual blessings for the world to come, instantly, right now. He provides it all. You see, God is always looking down upon you. Jesus is in heaven now. He's with the angels and the saints, perfect. And he's looking down upon you. And he's watching you. And he's very much interested in every aspect of your life. And he doesn't want you to give yourself over to believing in good and bad luck and trying to get ahead in life and getting all the things that are necessary, but rather to focus your attention on prayer and meditation and him. He's going to save you. Jesus saves you. The good news, the good tidings is that the Savior is born to save you from the pride of life. That's a bondage. From chasing after material things, thinking that that somehow they're going to matter the most in this world. He's come to save you from being trapped by materialism, by pride, by the lie of the evil one. He's going to set you free from all that so that you can truly live your life serving him and serving the family of God. And of course, in the process, blessing yourself and others all around you in your own family. The most important thing this missionary told these Chinese people is that Jesus is the Savior of our sins, from our sins, so that he offers us forgiveness. Not just forgiveness of some sins, but forgiveness of every sin. See, the focus on attention at Christmas time is on the baby Jesus being born, and that is, of course, a wonderful thing. But really, he lived so that he could die. He can go to the cross. And on the cross, the apostle tells us that he took all our sins with him and nailed them to the cross. And God poured forth his wrath upon his son who became sin, and poured forth his wrath against all our sins upon his own son, so that there is no more wrath for us. All our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And God wants you to know this, so that you will turn to the only true and living God. All the rest are dead idols. So you will turn to the true and living God and live in this world for Him and in the world to come forever. Yeah, there is one more thing, missionary said. I mentioned it to you before, but I'll mention it again, that Jesus is alive and well. He's in heaven. He's watching you. In fact, what He's done is He sent His Holy Spirit down here to abide in the people of God. So there is a Spirit that is alive and well among Christians. And that Spirit lives in them and with them and works through them. And it gives them power. You know, there's an old Chinese saying, he told them. I know it. It says, it goes like this: mountains can be moved, but a man's disposition cannot be changed. Well, I'm here to tell you that the message, the good tidings, is that Jesus came to do that, to change men and women and boy and girl, to change their disposition towards God, away from themselves, away from their lie, away from their idols, away from this world, to God. God can do that. Man can't change dispositions. That's right. But God can do it. And finally, the good news, the glad tidings, as in verse 10 says, shall be to all people. It's not just to the Westerners. It's not merely a Western religion. It's to all peoples and all nations and all cultures and all societies. It's the same one for everyone. And we don't, as Christians, we don't care about the color of your skin or your race or your traditions or your cultures, your customs and all that. So that's not our concern. Our concern is that you welcome Jesus into your life. Abide with Him for a while. The things that are wrong about your customs and your traditions, He will fetter them out. He will remove them for you. He will help you. But this is a message for the Americas, for the African people, for the Asian people, for the Europeans, for the Australian people, the New Zealand people. It's for the whole world. Yes, it began with the shepherds, these Jewish shepherds in Jerusalem and thereabouts, but it's branched out now to claim the whole world. And so we want you to enjoy Christmas like we do, and the true meaning and message of it, he told these people. And we're willing to sit down with you, give you a Bible, we'll give you a tract. We'll have heart-to-heart talks with you about these things. We'll spend as much time with you as we possibly can to rid you of the false ideas of God, the pride, the materialistic things that you're into, and call you instead to confession, to faith, to embrace in Jesus Christ. And that was the message, more or less, this missionary to China gave these people that night in this area, this church or assembly, I'm not sure where they were exactly, where he gave this to them. And it's basic, right? I think that what happens with us is we understand that we don't appreciate what we have. We understand that. We admit it. We confess it. But it's good to know that, in specific ways, we really don't appreciate what we have. I mean, we take this so much for granted. The wealth of wisdom and knowledge that we have beyond what this basic message. See, this is brand new to them. They're hearing it for the first, second, or third time. We've heard it for, decades, all our lives, and we know much more than this. But this never gets old, does it? And when you share it for the first time or the second time with somebody, and that somebody's eyes are wide open and listening to this, it's new to them, it's fresh to them, it means something. It's wonderful. And that's what we have at Christmas time. And we should remember it. We should rehearse it. And never forget it. And tell it to our children and our grandchildren. The truth. About how Jesus came to save a people from their sin. He saves us from the lie, the pride of life, and materialism, the worldliness that's out there. I'm going to pray the prayer that the missionary prayed at this time with us tonight. Father, we thank thee for Jesus. Without him, we are lost in our own superstition, our pride, and our love of money. Humble each one of us so that we may come to admit our sinful condition. Help us to know our need for the forgiveness of our sins in the blood of Jesus. Give us more and more the joy of living a Christian life. And may thy Holy Spirit work this in our hearts as we seek to serve thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's incredible.